Live from the Pathway Studios in Johnston proper, you are Live from the Path.
And you're listening to Live from the Path. We're coming from the Pathway Studios here in Johnston proper. I don't know who you are, but you know me and you're blessed to do so. And we got a good show for you tonight.
Opportunity to be a modern day Eliphaz on Facebook, and that stuff's got to end.
Hey, here's the thing. I feel like you were just waiting. You were lying in wait to accuse me of being a modern day Eliphaz.
Yeah. I was reading the Job with the ladies tonight. And first of all, here's the deal. I'm trying to decide whether I'm doing the wrong thing, because I read to the little gals. They're like 9 and 6 out of the ESV. And the middle parts of Job are hard for a 9 and 6-year-old to understand. And so I start kind of trying to read it ahead and then message it to them, you know?
Yeah.
And some things I say are just, I mean, they're flat out blasphemy. They're just not right. You know what I'm saying? By the time I get them out of my mouth, I'm like, I shouldn't have said that. That's not what the scriptures
say.
Hey,
speaking of which, there was somebody that commented on, you remember we did that, we were talking about the ESV?
Yeah.
And their decision to stop editing the ESV, and then the re-decision to continue editing the ESV. And anyway, we had posted a clip about it, and someone commented, Mike, and did not appreciate a comment that you made about it.
What did I say?
Like, you had said something to the extent of, like, it was a bit of a mocking thing about annual editions of the Bible, right? Like, people are trying to jazz it up and sell more. Like, the 2016 edition has, I don't know, some sort of fancy type, and maybe Mary's a bit promiscuous. And
I thought maybe that would get some poor reaction.
Yeah, so this person was not very happy. I mean, they were pretty plain about it. They were like, that comment about Mary being promiscuous was not very funny.
Well,
I thought, well, I mean, okay.
Here's the thing, though. It's like, that was obviously said in jest, right? Like,
right.
That's not true of the mother of the Lord. But, like, the truth of the matter is like, we take, there is more than one section of a claim to be Christianity that will spin whatever they want to spin to make their particular idiom sound like this is the new thing. Or this is the thing I just discovered that is the newfangled deal about the Bible, right?
Right.
And the fancier you can make it and the more jangles you can put on it, the more attention that you get. And so, like, it was said in jest, but there's some legitimate truth behind some of the things that people spin to make the light shine particularly on their area.
No, yeah, I get you. All right, so here's what we got going on the show tonight. Frankly, I don't think we're going to get to all of it, but the Jeff Arendelle Band is in studio. Hey, fellas.
Woo!
Hey,
I don't know who chose with the woo, but that's the right way to do it. You got to up the ante in this joint. So they got some cool stuff going on. They're opening up for about a mile this week. Album is available on iTunes. Got a couple of songs for you. Lots of cool stuff going on in their world. So we'll talk to them and hear some tunes from them. Also, John Eisenhower's in the studio. John, you got to snuggle up there, buddy.
Yeah. Hello.
All right. Hey, it's good to see John again. John is one of my favorite guys. And here's the deal. He was dressed for the weather today. Like, I had already given up on it.
Yeah.
So, like, I'd given up on the weather, right? I thought it's going to start going downhill. John's soaking up for everything it's worth. I mean, he's got shorts and I mean, he's ready to rock. So, and Mike's got some questions for John, on people.
Yeah. John, here's the deal John's with the Eisenhower team, which is, we've just known these fellas forever. They're solid dudes. We use them for all our real estate stuff. But, like, the thing that blows me away about all of them, like, every time I meet a new Eisenhower, they're the same. Like, they have this thing with people. Like, even if it's not true, and this is actually one of my questions, but, like, it feels like they genuinely like people, right? Which is not true of, say, 95% of the world. And I don't understand.
Yeah.
I don't understand it.
Okay. And,
There's some things to talk about there.
Okay. All right. So we'll catch up with John. Mike's got some Pope style advice. Mike, preview on your Pope style.
Well, it's actually a combo of Eliphaz and Renaissance Festival. So, I mean, if you were planning to go into bed early, I'd chalk that up to not going to happen because we got some stuff to talk about.
No, I think that's fair. I actually have some Pope style this week, and it has to do with Tim Tebow.
Tim Tebow, the Temanite.
Yeah. He's not the Temanite.
I just threw that
that's
on there.
That's not a thing.
It's like a catchy slogan.
Okay, anyway, that's what we got going on this week. Hey, lots of, before we ruin the show, lots of cool stuff coming up in future weeks. Silverside's going to be here next week. Mike, we got a guest coming in on the 31st. And I got a line on a cool group of folks doing cool things for Haiti. And hopefully we're going to get to that in November. I'm pretty excited to talk to these folks. So lots of cool stuff coming up in the coming weeks on Live from the Path. All right, Arundale. So tell me about this. What took so long to get your album on the iTunes?
Yeah.
I mean, were we having trouble getting past the filter of your vulgarity or something?
Right. You know, actually, it was there sooner. I think it was just a slowness for me to put it out there. So it actually had been there since late May, early June, something like that.
No
so,
kidding.
You know, I had this thing drafted. It's like, hey, I was in my Facebook the other day. It's like, I never published that, so I published it. Boom. So we're on iTunes.
So. Okay, so if you're interested in a marketing position in care of Jeff Arundale somewhere in Norwalk, he could use the help.
Executive in charge of Hit Publish.
so you can pick up the album just about anywhere decent tunes are sold, right? Like
correct.
Amazon, iTunes, CD correct. Baby, all that kind of stuff?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, sweet. Now what has been the reaction to the album?
I think good. I'm not. It's not been bad.
Hey, when Arundale leaves the room, will someone tell me the truth?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I think it's good. You know, a lot of these songs have been around for several years. We've been performing them for several years, and so I think people are glad to see them in recorded fashion and be able to put them in their car or on their iTunes or whatever. And yeah. So
you've obviously So you played these tunes for a while. You finally got them down. Is there anything, like, after you got out of the studio that it turned out different than you expected or better than you expected?
I think one of the songs, Almighty, when we were down in the studio down south, the tempo is different. The feel is different. We kind of do it more rock straightforward. It was more, not country-ish, but it just had a different feel to it, Almighty. But still good. And still got a great message and in the words and that sort of thing. It's about Jesus and... how holy God is and that sort of thing. So,
do you always feel like when you go in a studio, like because of what is there, like you're like, hey man, we should put some spoons in here.
Or, oh yeah.
Did any of y'all play the mandolin? Or does someone know how to play that big whoopty organ over there? We should put that whoopty organ in.
Yeah. Oh yeah. There's all kinds of that sort of thing. And the musicians down there too are incredible and capable of doing that. I got an idea. And they've got 128 tracks or whatever on that, so they put it all down and then it's mixed later. So,
boy, that's good. And so it's not done like a live or let's see, a studio recording of a live performance. It's like a tracked kind of thing where they
it's
just
both.
Kind of,
both. Yeah. It's a live recording. The ones that I've done, it's a live recording, and then they'll go back and freshen it up or you know put it in a different part or
whoopee
lead
organ.
Or yeah. The whoopty organ.
Yeah.
It's like Photoshop for music,
exactly.
Is what you're saying.
Okay. Comes back and plays with us.
Yeah. It says, what do you mean y'all don't play the whoopty organ?
We got to get us a whoopty organ.
What's this constantly disappointing me with is lack of whoopty organ. All right, well, let's do some tunes here. Arundale, what do you want to play for us?
We're going to do Be Alert. I don't know if we've done this before. It's an old one that it's written about. Boy, we need to be alert because Satan's always on the prowl, right, guys? Yeah, let's do Be Alert. One, two, one, two. Be alert, 10 mermaids faith to be strong. Have the word in your heart and be ready for what comes along. Feel the love from above coming down from his hand.
Done in name Drop your heart, give it up, turn it over, go tell the world. Oh, grace, give mercy, thank peace, you've got to endure. Discipline yourself for the purpose of God. Let him guide your walk in this life by step and rise.
Fellas.
Nice job, fellas.
Yeah, that one smokes.
That one does smoke. So that one's on the album, definitely, yeah?
No.
No, what?
Again,
I do that, don't I?
Every time you come in here.
Again, PR man, care of Jeff Arundale.
Jeff Arundale, yeah. Yeah, come and see Saturday. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, so tell me about this. Tell me about this show coming up on Saturday.
Yeah, it's part of Fellowship Community Church down in Norwalk. We've got a fall festival going on down there, and we were asked to open up for a band that National Touring Christian Artist Act out of Pennsylvania called About a Mile. And so that is Saturday from 4:30 until 9. The doors actually open. We're on 5:30, 5:15. 5:15 to 6, and then About a Mile is on at 6:30. So they were at Connection Fest 2 years ago and put on a really good show, and so we're anxious to see them again. And, you know, one of the things, too, about them is they're not about glitz and show and doing it for themselves. It's for the right reason. They understand the need to get the gospel out and to join in God's mission to disciple all people. So looking forward to that. So they're in the midst of a tour right now. They've got a new record coming out soon, and yeah, we're excited to see them.
So there's two bands at the festival?
Correct.
Excellent. And just real quick, so you're catching all the details here. It's October 22nd at Fellowship
Community Church, 224 North Avenue.
There we go.
Or you can go to my Facebook too as well. Facebook.
Do you have an event out there? Something people can be like, yeah, I'm going.
Yeah, it's more like a whole weekend. I don't know if we're doing anything other than the concert on Saturday night, from what I understand. But Sunday morning, it's typical service, but we're going to do some fall-like games. I don't know. They're going to bob for apples or launch pumpkins or...
Pumpkin launch, eh?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to go, yeah, you're up. Sign me up for that.
Yeah, people find it like Jesus, yeah, people do a little.
Oh, yeah, the turkey drop. No, we do that at Thanksgiving, so... Oh, there's a chili contest Sunday.
Is anybody entering in the chili contest from the Jeff Arundale Band?
Oh, right all here, Mr. Hennessy.
Hennessy's in. He can't answer, but ask him if it's a hot one.
Is it a hot one?
Yes. Yeah. It is a hot one.
Hey, man, there was a suspicious eyebrow raised in there, which I think means, oh, yeah.
No, wait, I was talking about the chili, Hennessy. Not whatever outfit or whatever you're going to put on at the chili cook-off.
Is it a chili eating contest?
Hey, man.
No, it's a cook-off. Recipe. It's a cook-off.
Oh, yeah. Man. Wait, that's just a mockery. But like, you don't get to eat the chili?
No, you don't get to eat it.
Oh, okay.
It's like a cook-off plus feed.
Okay, so I did a chili contest once, part of a Chamber of Commerce thing in Atlantic, and all these like real-life chefs were there, and me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't win.
Oh, I'm
it
sorry,
was hot,
Dad.
Though. It was hot.
Yeah.
I felt good about it.
I suppose if you know you're not going to take the best of show, you go in there with whatever you
I was
got,
like, don't remember me.
Which one tastes like a heel?
Just said, I'm just happy to be here and meant it.
Actually, here's the deal. That's a good shot, though. Like, if you're going to be in a chili cook-off, you make it overly spicy because it's going to knock out half the people who don't like spice, and they're not going to know it was bad.
And it ruins their taste buds for the real chefs.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the right way to do it.
I had a strategy.
Yeah.
I still lost.
Hey, so heads up, if Dan comes into your festival, you might want to sit him off to the side.
And get out the fire extinguisher or something.
Who's registered under Dr. Hotsky Sabotage? I'm Dr. Sabotage. Show me to my booth. hey, so in addition to that show coming up, opening for about a mile, sounds like you're pretty busy, fellas. What do you got coming up over the next month or so?
Yeah, one of the things that's been cool is God's given us opportunity to go to churches in their Sunday morning services, and it's an opportunity to encourage, to minister, to see God work in their places of worship, maybe bring a little bit of different style of music than what they're used to. I can only imagine what it's like when, you know, people come to our church and it's, oh, Jeff again, and oh, Ben again, and oh, or whatever. Or maybe, you know, it's a smaller church. We like going to those as well.
And those people are very nice, Jeff. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, and we will be, actually, we're going to be down in Osceola on the 6th of November if you're in that area. We're going to Newton Grace Church over in Newton on the 13th. We'll be on the southeast side on the 20th of November. And still looking to fill some dates. Nudge, nudge. Say no more, all that kind of thing. So,
hey, I heard you guys were playing the Real Men Conference this year.
Yeah, we're doing that in March. Yeah, looking forward to that.
That's pretty uptown. That's something that Dan's pretty heavily involved in too, and the fact that you guys are covering the worship for that night. What was the exact date, Dan? You remember? It's in March something.
March 20th or something?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. Anyway, if you get a chance to check that event out, there's a lot of very cool things going on for fellas there. And, with these boys running the tunes, it'll definitely be a night worth checking out. So make sure you do that.
Absolutely.
Now, when you're doing a man event, fellas.
We'll call it a man event.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're some high pitched fellas. Do you feel the need to lower it down a register, or are you just going to go out there with what you got?
Well, Ben, we'll allow Ben to turn it up to 11.
Yeah. You bring like the Oak Ridge Boys feel to it?
just the high parts of the Oak Ridge.
Hey, that is the question. Badger, do you have a beard? Do you have like a Oak Ridge Boys beard that you bring out in special occasions?
It doesn't make him sing any lower.
Gonna have a little talk with Jesus. No, never mind.
Oak Ridge slash Gaitherathon.
So I was slightly making fun of that, but like we these fellows were warming up, and like the harmonies are fantastic. As a matter of fact, let's roll into that one.
Yeah.
We'd
like to do a little old timey for you.
Yeah, there you go. Let's do that. Why do you like this tune, Arundale?
You know, in Nashville, whenever I go, I have to stop at the Ryman, and I just love the history of the Ryman. I'm not a big country music fan, but just the history of that culture and. You know, with the WSM and the Ryman Theater and the Grand Ole Opry, and actually you're kind of an inspiration too to do some old hymns. And actually we're doing a version of Leaning on the Everlasting, kind of the David Crowder version. So that's what we want to do. If we can, feel free to join in
on Fourth High.
Yeah,
Fourth High Harmony. That's me. Let's do this, boys.
All right, one, two, one, two.
Leaning on the everlasting arms.
thank you from all along the wild me.
Nice job, fellas.
That was beautiful.
Yeah, it was.
That was beautiful.
That's not on the album either.
Promoting an album.
Dang it. Aaron did.
I know.
Here's the deal. You're just going to have to go over to people's houses individually. You've done this.
Man, I don't know what it is. Like, over the last, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 years, it's like one of the things that I thirst for in music is vocal harmony.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I've heard a lot of good musicians, right? I've heard a lot of people play their instrument well. But, like, hearing well-done harmony is just beautiful.
Bro, yeah.
And Phil has nailed it. It was great.
That's great. Jason and Matt Wetzel. Everybody, give it up for those guys.
Here's the deal. I tried to do it off to the side. And, yeah, I couldn't get close enough to the microphone. You guys did it way too good. I was going to ruin it.
All right, so if you want to learn more about the Jeff Arendelle Band, you can go on Facebook. You want to look for Jeff Arendelle Music Ministry is the Facebook location. And do you still maintain a website?
Yep, it's still there, jeffarendelle.com. It's information will be there as well.
Sweet. And so you can hook up with the tunes, like I said, Amazon, iTunes, CD Baby, and certainly at the show. You can they're open up for about a mile this week. And then looks like they might even be floating by your area, say Osceola. And you can go hit that up.
Yeah.
So big thanks, as always, for Jeff Arendelle and the fellas for coming into the show. Guys, thank you so much for coming in. Always appreciate
it. Thanks for having us. We appreciate it.
We're going to take a quick, 1 to 2 minute break to give the fellas a chance to get on out of here and get home to their families. And then we will be right back with you. Thanks for hanging out with us. Please stand by. You've been listening to Live from the Path. All right, welcome back. You've been listening to Live from the Path. Now that those fellas are gone, I think we can do, I don't know, what is a quality rendition of Leaning on the Everlasting Arms.
Ready?
Yeah.
Leaning.
Come on now.
Safe and secure.
Hey.
Arms.
Here we go. Wait. Hey, you guys were supposed to be the bass.
I dropped out. Dan was doing funny stuff, and I dropped out. I couldn't keep myself in composure.
This is why we invite people in.
That's what I'm saying.
It's a travesty.
All right, you're listening Live from the Path. Anyway, make sure you go check out what Jeff and the fellas are up to. Hook up with that Facebook stuff. That's the right way to do it. The information will be 3 or 4 months behind if Arendelle's running the controls there. But it's that's the most recent information you can get without standing outside his house. So do that.
They will be promoting nothing that's actually for sale right now, too.
Yeah,
Jeff Arendelle,
publishes the Book of Psalms.
Now out and available hardback.
PR opportunity, care of Jeff Herndale, somewhere in Norwalk. All right, so John Eisenhower is hanging out with us in the studio. Always good to hook back up with John. And Mike and I were talking this week about what do I know if I could pick the brain of John Eisenhower?
Yeah.
What kinds of things would I want to know, Mike? What did you come up with?
So, like I said, we've had some interaction with the Eisenhowers before, and one thing that they do better than literally anyone else I've ever met. Is they have a way to make you feel very important. You know what I'm saying? And like some of that's, I'd like to attribute it to just being their job, but I just feel like that's not entirely, that doesn't cover all of it, right? And so, John, as you do kind of what you do, I feel like you have to, do you feel like you have to love people to do the job that you do?
Yes. Stay asked to have a love for people and helping others. It's a career where you're around people, you're all day. Talking to them, interacting with them, meeting new people, building relationships to, you definitely had to love people to be in this industry.
I mean, especially because you're meeting them completely off normal schedule, right? Like everyone is available to say, look at a house or talk about selling a house after work already or, you know, most of the weekend that, you know, they're trying to take up that time. And like, I feel like I'd have a really hard time. Not resenting that. You know what I'm saying? People call and be like, hey, it's Friday afternoon. Come over and talk about my house. I mean, come on, dude. It's Friday afternoon. I'm going to talk to you right now.
No, yeah, and that's kind of what we expect is when other people are free is when we're usually called out to help them. So, you know, whether it's looking at houses when they get off work at 5, 6, 7 o'clock or whether they want to list their house on the weekend in the morning, that's when we're free. Our schedules are freed up. We'll get all our paperwork done in the mornings and during the week. That way we're free to be able to do all of that. And part of that is our team aspect, being able to be free for all of our clients. We've got 3 licensed agents where your traditional realtor is just one person. So
yeah,
kind of enables us also to reach out to a little broader audience doing that.
Sure.
So, like, personally, do you feel like you have to work at that? Like, do you have to work to keep a good attitude about that? Do you have to work to... I don't know. I can't deal with people like an Eisenhower can, right? Like,
and there's no doubt that selling or buying a house is an extremely stressful deal for most people who don't go through it very often, you know. So I mean, that has to sometimes bring out the harder to get along with out of people,
yeah,
you know.
They say it's one of the top 3 stressful things you go through in life, like buying, getting married,
buying a house,
buying a house,
beating a spouse or something like that,
beating a murder rap.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of stressful situations in there, but it's also a rewarding job because, I mean, when you find that right house for the person, you get to see the joy it brings their family, and a lot of times that's what makes it worth it is when you're out looking, people bring, you know, their moms, their dads, sometimes their cousins are there, who knows them. They'll have their kids there. They're always putting their 2 cents in, too. So.
Yeah, right.
See? That's the part that would drive me nuts, right? Big uncle, whatever his name is, shows up and he's like, I don't really like the cabinets or this basement. Hey, why don't you shut up? We're trying to talk about this house. People are trying to live here. It's not even you, uncle. What's your name?
Right.
Like, that stuff. That's actually maybe the cusp of the conversation I guess I'm interested in. It's like, Of the top 2 commandments that God hands out, one is love God with all your heart, and the second one is love people, right? And I struggle so much with the people, John.
Yeah,
it's the people, and so sometimes I wonder, like, is there, do you feel like God has designed certain people to that's just what they do? They interact with people the way, like, in a facility, the way that you guys do, and like, There are other people that just aren't quite built for that, or it's something that everybody can probably attain to. They just got to keep some stuff in mind or try to get themselves centered out.
Yeah, I think God's definitely given some people more ability to be around people and keep a joyful heart around them.
Yeah.
I don't think it's for everyone, that's for sure.
So there's nothing for me to be ashamed of.
Definitely not. No.
Thanks, John.
I think everyone has their own talents, but I think it's definitely something where, like I said, you have to have a passion for real estate. If someone's out there just for the money, they're not going to last very long. It's something where, with most industries, you've got to have some kind of passion into it. So who knows what your passion is in it, but I know, like you said, with our family, a lot of it is building relationships and being around people, so that's what keeps us going. And I know my dad's been doing it for a little over 30 years now, and that's what's kept him in it, is being able to help people and see throughout the history of how he's been doing it, helping, seeing them go from house to house to house,
yeah,
different parts of their life.
I always feel like that. Like, when I first met Bob, like, I barely let him show us any houses. I basically said, look, you just hang tight. I'm going to send you addresses, and then you tell me if these are legit or whatever. Yeah. And like, he was completely cool about it. I expected him to be like, look, that's not how this goes, you know? I'll find you places that are, you know, within your price range and what you're looking for. I got a better beat on this thing than you would, just Johnny Novus, you know? And I basically said, look, you know, I'll find the joints, and you just look at them and say, look, this is what it can move at or whatever. And he's like, yeah, that's no problem. And I literally looked at, like, two houses. I sent him my second one. I said, Bob, I'm standing at the front door of this place. I think it's foreclosed on. And he goes, well, let me check. And he called back, like, 10 minutes later. He goes, yeah, foreclosed. Keys in the box. Blah, 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 blah. Have a look at it. And I called him back 15 minutes later. I said, Bob, I'm going to buy this place. He goes, I already got the paperwork started. We're good.
That's awesome.
And so what I really liked most about working with the Eisenlauers is, like, they didn't – for a guy like me, it's a process I know nothing about. But it's just like, when you walk into it, I always feel like it's buying a car situation. Like they're trying to put the scam on me somehow.
Yeah.
Like, cause I don't know the ins and outs of the laws and whatever. And they're like, well, maybe we should pay more or less. But I'm like, don't you tell me what to do.
Yeah.
And like, it was not like that at all. And so, like, it blew me away a little bit that the fact that they can continue to operate, the way that they do on straight honesty and integrity and not a bunch of weird flashy stuff that I don't understand. And so, yeah, it was very cool. And so, John, you're with the Eisenlauer team, correct? You guys got a website or something?
Yeah, it's just www.eisenlauerteam.com.
Is your face on it?
I'm sure it is somewhere
is
on there, yeah.
Big? Is it pretty big? Yeah, it's pretty big, isn't it?
I'm sure.
Yeah. Sometimes I see, like, a van with a realtor guy face on it. I'm like, you know, that's probably too big.
Yeah. You know, like, yeah, luckily my face didn't make the van.
Is that, I mean, do you have to sell a number of houses to do that? Like when you get house 700, you get on the van?
Yeah.
Hey, so that's not van quality work, John.
No. Not yet.
Do you think they'll just, like, get a fathead printed out and, like, plaster you on the side of the van? Or they get the whole van repainted?
Yeah. Hopefully let's get it repainted.
Yeah.
You gotta make that status.
Yeah, you got to be legit.
Yeah.
Like, if you see, like, a fathead, like a... You're talking about those things that stick on the walls, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, like, if one got on there without repainting the van, it's because John ordered one prematurely and stuck it on there in the night.
And wrote with the marker, and John. Yeah. That'd be awesome.
That'd be good advertisement.
You can go to EisenlauerTeam.com. And, John, if they wanted to call you directly, what would they call?
You can reach me at 515-783-4837.
515-783-4837, and it's still a good time, John? Is it still a good time to get in?
If you can still reach me.
Here's the deal. I've been noticing around my neighborhood, I mean, I live in Bondue. I mean, you can't keep a house on the market for just like 3 days, the thing is sold.
Yeah,
like, stuff is just flying off the shelf.
Yeah, it's the time to sell right now still. All summer it's been like that. It hasn't slowed down too much, so
man. If
you're thinking of selling still. Still the right time.
Does the economy worry you, John? Are you a guy that's like, hey, man, careful. Things are going to teeter over the edge, or do you have an opinion on that?
Try not to think about it too much. You know?
I feel like the same way.
Yeah. There's not much I can do to affect it. So.
No, it's true, and I suppose your gig is to help. If a guy wants to buy a house, he wants to buy a house.
Yeah.
Like, what good does it do to you to have call the world falling? Well, yeah, that's a good call.
It's a falling world, buddy. No reason to buy this place.
See, John knows how to deal with people. Someone say, man, hey, I was thinking about buying my house. I'm like, it's a bad idea.
Do you ever run across people that they insist on buying a house that you're like, man, this is not a good idea?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We definitely have those thoughts, but we let them decide ultimately.
Yeah. That's really unfair because people like me need to be torn back from the edge somehow, you know? I'll see like an old 16th century Victorian that has like $150,000 worth of work needed just to walk in the door, and it's like it's $2,000. I should buy this, right, Bob?
Yeah.
I'll ask John. I don't need to talk to you. Someone can let me buy this thing.
John's the grease man. I love it.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea, Mike. Yeah, thanks. All right.
Well, definitely. If you're in the market to buy, sell, probably both, right? People usually doing both at the same time. John's your man. Give him a buzz. Go to EisenlauerTeam.com. And there's a place where you can submit. Like, if you want to have him look at something, you can just email it over to him. There's like a contact area. And so, I agree. And this came up all the time when we used to talk about it on the show, but like, always had great experiences. And like, we've had a couple times where my family's been looking at buying a house, and it didn't work out either time. And like, I mean, we took up a lot of time looking at a lot of different places, and like always gracious, always very willing to come out with. In fact, there was a bargain property just outside of Altoona that we wanted to land.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah, John put some work into it. It didn't work out, but like, I mean, it was fun. Like, if you thought you could snag that thing, it would have been cool. But anyway, always great interaction, and always glad to have John pop in
the
studio.
Yeah, good time to be here.
All right, so John's hanging around for the rest of the gig in case we need his advice on some stuff.
Yeah, sounds like a good idea.
Okay,
yeah.
I tell you what, Mike, I'm going to hold my Pope style for next week.
Okay.
Because I want to I want to check out whether it's good advice. I need to be working on this. The Pope style advice is for me. And I'm working on it this week, and so I'd like to be able to like report back on it next week. So maybe I'm going to hold my Pope style for next week.
Okay.
What do you got?
So here's
what was this? Eliphaz?
Well,
and the Ren Fair.
Yeah, hold on. Here's the deal.
Eliphaz.
I was at the local bar, and me and some friends were hanging out, and they were there too long, okay. And they automatically thought that I was like after drinking so much, they thought. I believe this man is the Pope. And I said, no, that's not the deal, you know. But then they followed me to my home, and they said, Mike, Pope, give us advice so we may go out into the world. And I thought, well, I'm going to have to do something to get rid of these boys. And so generally Pope-style advice is something that both applies to me and means something to my life, but can also be given out to the masses to take forward into the world that they live in. And so I actually had a really interesting week of oddball things that hit me. That it kind of blew me away in perspectives that I didn't quite understand. So me and the lady went out to it was our anniversary this weekend. And so we went for a trip down to Kansas City, and we went to the Renaissance Fair.
Yeah.
And I've always wanted to kind of go to the Renaissance Fair, but I've always thought, nah, man, I can't go to the Renaissance Fair. They're gonna irritate me. You know, like I'll walk in there and they'll be like, yee ho, you know, speak of the language, you know. I'm like, I don't want to do that, you know. Like, they're going to put me on the spot, and I don't want to do it, and it's going to make me angry. And so we've never gone. And so this weekend, my wife planned it all. It was a big surprise or whatever, and we went down. And we got walking around the place, and what I really noticed that it put me to shame is it doesn't matter what you look like, talk like, or act like, no one will make fun of you at the Renaissance Fair. You know what I'm saying? Like, there is a guy dressed as a pirate.
Yeah.
A Joker right behind him, a guy that looks like he's from the Harry Potter, and then an elf. And they're all just walking in a team, and then some guy in that weird pelican mask from the Mad Magazine.
Oh, yeah, that's weird.
He was kind of creepy, be honest with you. Like, he never took off the mask. He was just walking around with a cane and a big robe and that pelican mask, and I saw him like five times.
Are you meaning penguin?
Yeah.
Penguin, not pelican.
No, it's the same animal.
No, it's a different animal. Go continue.
All right, they start with a P and they're Arctic birds. In either case, this man didn't say anything. He kind of put the willies on me. I wasn't a big fan of him.
Yeah.
But like, in either case, like I looked at this group and there probably had to been 5,000 or 6,000 people here walking around this thing. And I thought, it doesn't matter what you came in looking like. Nobody would make fun of you here. Like, there is no seat of superiority anywhere in this place. Unless like the elves, maybe the elves inner fight, I'm not sure. You know, like I look more like a real elf than you or something.
No, yeah, definitely.
But like, you know, I mean, there was that archer from the Lord of the Rings was there, Gandalf was hanging about, and then some guy in just like a straight up weird, a dog costume would come rolling by. And I thought, no one looked at anybody with any type of judgment. You never heard anybody laughing at another guy, but like, look at that guy, he shouldn't be wearing that. And I thought, this puts the Jesus community to shame. You know, like they don't hold the same morals as we do. They're you know, as the thing that they're celebrating, it's not what we celebrate. We celebrate the joy and freedom in Christ, right? But like, as far as the number two on the list of loving people, these guys kind of they're nailing it. They're nailing it well in a completely diverse group of folks, and they're like, yeah, you're all welcome here. This is cool, you know. And so like it was kind of cool to see like a place where there was just not any. Inter judgment going on. Not so much saying that like our churches are terrible about that, but like I almost felt like it's a lesson we could somehow learn from the Renaissance Fair. You know, like they just look around and they're like, "Yep, I'm just glad that you're here." You know, and I don't know. I thought that was it was very cool. And like I didn't get, although I did have one of them gypsy ladies try to bless something that I bought, and I had to put a stop to that because that's I don't dig on that.
That's not
for me. You know, but
wait, what did you buy?
I bought the ladies a scarf jangle, like it.
What is that? When you say jangle,
you tie it on. You tie it on your waist, and then it's got real pretty jangles on it, and you can shake it and it makes jingly noises.
Why did you say scarf though?
It's because the jangles are on. They're sewn to a scarf.
It's a hip. It's a belt. That's not really a belt, really. It's like a Dolly Parton belt.
Yeah, it's like a half. It's like a half skirt, but it's not meant to be worn as like the primary clothing. It's
why
a,
would you? Why would someone bless that?
I have no idea. I mean, we were halfway out the store, and she's like, "Can I bless those?" And I'm like, "No, that's all right. You know. You're like, you can just take my $6 or whatever. Please. We'll just end it there." I didn't realize these jangles came with a promise. So that was kind of weird.
I'd be kind of interested in what she'd say. May they jangle. May they jangle for you to the moon and back.
I don't know. I caught her doing it to the guys behind me or something. They're like, may these bring you peace to your home or whatever. I'm like, you're asking a lot out of butt jangles, you know? I feel like Jesus handled most of that. And I don't think he can be easily replaced by a scarf with bells on it. But I'm your call. That's your call.
Huh.
So anyway, that was a pretty cool experience. And I don't even know. Do I have Pope style advice there? No. I don't even know if I have it. Really, it was trying to get in an area, like, because we have to couple both together, right? Like, we have to love God first and love people as well. And like, if you fall in just the number two crowd, you're not really actually doing them any favors. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you just love people and then support everything that they do, that's not a position in which they get to know the Creator, which is kind of the ultimate goal and where the source of all that stuff comes from anyway. But there is something to be said in walking into a diverse group of people. And there's not a seat of how can you say that, a hierarchy just in the room. Just instantly there's hierarchy. And there is that in most, I would say, in most places that I've been. There's just a seat, and I've been part of it, right? Like, who's that guy? He doesn't belong here. I'm obviously belong here. He doesn't belong here. I'll go talk to him and act like we're good buddies or whatever. It's nice to meet you. But really, I don't think that. I think, what are you doing here? You know, I don't know you. And so, like, and that Renaissance Fair had no part of that. No part of that.
Like, it didn't feel, didn't have that vibe to it at all.
No, I had a Columbia sweatshirt on, you know, and that's pretty uptown for say, the Renaissance Fair.
Everybody else is dressed up. You're wearing, like, white prep gear.
Yeah, exactly, right? Yeah. Like, I look like I'm from a suburbia, and no one said anything. Everyone just, you know, I got in a couple conversations with a couple wizards, and you know, they didn't say, hey, is this your first time at the Renaissance Fair? They're just like, hey, did you see the apple throwing guy or something, you know? And so, like, it's like it would never even come up. All the things that all the preconceived notions I would bring with me, they've already shed at the door years ago. And so I thought that was pretty cool.
I heard a story about the Amish, or a Mennonite community or somewhere up in Canada. And they were doing a barn raising, and like, some guy was really, he was interested in it. He had heard about it and he was interested in it. So he takes his family and they drive over to wherever these Mennonites are. And, He walks up and he says, says hello. And obviously he's not a Mennonite. He doesn't look at all like these dudes. They're, you know, they don't have work clothes on or anything. So he looks, one of the Mennonite guys looks over and goes, hi, go ahead and jump on in. And he does. And the guy turns into a Mennonite. He's been a Mennonite for the last 25 years. Oh, because no. He looks at this dude and like, and he's obviously not one of them, but the Mennonite doesn't care. He's just like, come and jump on in and join us. And ultimately the guy hangs out and gets to know him, becomes part of their kind of belief structure, right? And so, I don't know what I've cultivated in my life or what has happened that, immediately causes me to start making distinctions, right? Like, and maybe the Mennonite guy's running through his head. Like, it's not like he's like, hey, that could be my cousin George. Like, it's obviously not.
Right.
The guy's not from there. But is your reaction to say, I'm not making distinctions about why you're here or who you are. You're here, I'm here, that's where our equivalence is. Same thing at the throne of Christ, right? And so, like, some of the distinctions we make are for, are not for kingdom purposes, they're not even for expedient purposes, and sometimes they're for ways in which we want to try to be clever about how we talk to somebody or introduce ourselves. The relational things that you do in business, I'm not sure they always apply in kingdom work, where we have to, do that type of thing. Like, people are there, and a lot of times they're just looking for people with open arms, right? And sometimes we got our arms folded while we think it through, and then we come up with the two or three things that we think are the right distinctions, and then we open arms. And so, like, I think that is something we can learn. And here's the thing, that you might be able to try to fix that on your own or force people to do it, but, like, you can get you can feel that vibe. Like, you can... your behavior, regardless of how well you think you mask it, the vibe of your church or your group of people or whatever will otherwise betray that. And it's cool that you could walk into the Ren Fair and there's like there's a wide array of folk at that thing. And like, you're not getting that vibe. Like, I think you'd feel it if it were going on. Some churches have that well. Some people, it's tough.
Yeah, yeah. And here's the thing. The reason this is Pope-style advice that applies to me is because I really struggle with this. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's parts of my personality that, like, I pray that would just go away. It's terrible. These are terrible portions of me. You know what I'm saying? Where I look at people and, like, I feel like I know them and I've looked at them for, like, 10 seconds. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can guess their cultural background, what kind of jerk they are, and blah, 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 blah. And, like, I know every bit of that is not the way that God's kingdom spreads around, you know? But, like, it's already happened. I've already done it. It's something that like, when you're around, you know, folks like that, it's like, I don't know how you do this so effortlessly. And frankly, I roll the Eisenlowers in with these Renfair folks. You know what I'm saying? Like, I flat out don't understand how you do this so effortlessly. You know, where like, usually people can see right through, phony love. You know what I'm saying? Phony likability. And, like, I don't get that vibe from the Eisenlowers, and I don't get that vibe from the Renfair. I feel like that, yeah, you guys are cool here. You know, it's no problem. I realize that you're wearing, that Columbia jacket. That's kind of lame. But, like, we're still buddies. And there's nothing that's going to stop us from being buddies.
Yeah, we don't care where you parked your yacht. Come on in.
Yeah. I see you brought the town and country. Woohoo!
all right. Get off your lawn?
Yeah. Yeah, why don't you take off?
Okay. All right. Off the lawn. Pope style advice via Mike. All right. People need help. We got just a little bit of time, Mike. What do you got?
I wasn't quite right.
Okay, I'll give you a heads up on my Pope style for next week. So, Tim Tebow was after me this week. And he seems like a nice guy, but I mean, he was after me. And it wasn't, the odd part was, it wasn't because he's a Christian, it wasn't because he's talented, it wasn't because he seems like an overall nice guy. It is because beyond comprehension to me, the man seems ready and available to put himself in situations that I think are none of my business. And that was convicting to me because what I think it showed me was there's a distinction between what I feel like is my business and what I know to be the business of Jesus. And those two things are separated a lot. And it comes back to some of the stuff that, Mike was talking about on how I deal with people, how, it may be awkward to put yourself in a situation, how I think that people don't want you to insert yourself in a situation. Basically places where I'm like, other people got this under control. This is not my business. And I think more of it is my business because it's God's business than I think. And so, Tim Tebow's after me this week, and I'll talk about that next week. I'm trying to look at things differently through those lenses, and I'll tell you the full story and my reaction to it, next week on Ben's Pope Style.
Excellent. Dear Life from the Path. My boyfriend, quotes Fred, and I have been together for 10 years, during 5 of which we have been engaged, although there has been no talk of actually setting a date. That doesn't bother me because I am very unhappy in our relationship now.
Oh, no.
I took a turn. Fred hasn't worked in 3 years. Oops. I have been supporting him all this time, and I am losing my mind. I am doing everything I can, and I'm beyond stressed. I can't talk to him about it because he doesn't want to talk. I send out his resume, and he doesn't return any calls to the places that call him. I am 32, and I feel like I am in a rut. What should I do?
Well, I'd like to know. He's depressed. He sounds clinically depressed.
Yeah.
What's going on in his life? What caused that? What's? I mean,
do you want to assume that he's around the same age as her? She's 32.
Guessing. Been together for 10 years. Last 5 has been poor. I mean, is there a career choice he made that he didn't like? I mean, is he not doing what he was trained to do? Something's happened in his life that is messing him up. Yeah. And, you know, hey, they're not married. She needs to get out.
Yeah, I mean, you're
depressing more, but, you know.
You're in the prime of your working time, bro. you know? Like, I mean, I don't see any evidence to support that, like, an accident happened or... You know, I don't know what else could explain why you don't think that you have to go to work. but I mean, let's say you're 27 when you proposed engagement and you ain't worked since you were 29. I mean, this is where people start to make some money and get their family set up. And, you know,
that's
just kind of where all that starts to roll in. And you have dumped every bit of that on your lady. And, yeah, I mean, if we're just giving advice to the gal, you're flat out dating the wrong man. And here's the deal, like, he may have been the right man when you met him, but he's not holding up his end of the bargain. You know, you want to commit to a lifetime of doing this.
She's given an ultimatum, you know, get help, find out what's going on, or get out. I mean, there's no continuing what they're doing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You have to see progress one way or the other.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so our advice to her is be his motivation to start making some changes and help him with that. Like, she didn't state what she's doing about it, but, like, obviously he's in a spot where things are not progressing on his own, and, like, he may not be seeing the situation accurately, right? If you think that you can continue to act like that for 20 years and sustain a relationship on a woman you made a promise to and then are not fulfilling, you are mistaken. And it is not harsh to, you know, clarify that position so that he's aware of what the actual circumstance, because it's a blindness to what the truth is more than it is his malfeasance, right? Like, he's probably just, he's not taking everything in. And so, like, once you kind of share that, then you have the ability to say, look, I'm not going anywhere if you're going somewhere. So let's work on this together. If he's like, no, I'm not going to, and then he's not taking in reality and she's not going to be able to do much about it.
Yeah. He does not have the ability to follow through on the relationship, on the engagement, on work, on anything. So yeah, is it a mental issue that he needs help with, or is he just flawed? And then she needs to find out, and he needs to find out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, Secular says, why are you sending out his resume? By now it should be clear to you that Fred has no intention of getting a job. Why should he? He has a good deal the way things are. Now here's the deal, though, is she says that, but, like, most people don't feel that way. Most people don't feel like that's a good deal. That, like, you're living off the back of your girlfriend.
She doesn't even seem resentful in the letter.
No, yeah. No.
I mean, she brings it up as a fact, but it's not like, he's a big jerk. I mean, she's not happy, but yeah, she doesn't seem to emphasize that, I didn't think.
No, and it actually, the thing that strikes me as being odd about the whole deal is, like, obviously she's well aware that his behavior is not acceptable, right?
Yeah.
And so, like, really, Your option is, if you have not brought this up as frank as you brought it up here, you owe him that, right? You're 10 years into this thing. Say, listen, I can't honestly expect to live a life with you this way, you know?
They're both too comfortable
in
the situation and in their relationship, and something has to stir up.
That's right. Something's going to have to move. And so, like, I wouldn't just walk in tomorrow and say, that's it, we're done. But say, look, something's got to move. And so if you got something to say here, I'd say it, because I'm about done. And so I think that's completely fair. Let's see. Ba 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 ba. Oh. Dear Life from the Path. I'm 10 years old and in fifth grade.
Oh.
I was in science class when my friend cheated off of me. I could confront her, but if I do, I risk losing her as a friend. She has done some rude things to me in the past, and I don't know what to do. Confused in class. John, this is all you, buddy. What is the advice?
Yeah, I'd say you probably have to talk to her about it, go to her and confront her.
Yeah. Yeah, straight up to her, not to the teacher or nothing.
Well, I think, yeah, you'd start there.
I'd start with her. And then try to get her to help her to do the right thing. And then if she doesn't,
she's done rude things in the past.
No, I understand. here's the thing. He's complicit in this action.
Uh-huh.
He permitted it.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. He doesn't even need to. He doesn't necessarily have to rat her out. I don't know that that's necessary, but he does need to. He needs to rat himself out, right? I think he needs to cop to it,
and he needs to make sure that this person knows. Oh, that won't happen again.
Yeah,
I will take measures to make sure you can't cheat off me again. I know what you did.
Yeah, he's going to get a folder that's called the Louisa Blocker. And he's going to hold it up.
I mean, just hear me out on this.
Okay.
We always applaud the person that gets things done. And this person has found a way to get things done by looking at someone else's paper.
Yeah.
I mean, if you move that into adult life, I mean, is this really all that bad?
It's against the rules, Mike. Regardless of whether your moving moral ground is at, it's against the rules of the classroom.
Listen to me, Ben.
It is making her weak.
Listen to me, Ben.
Okay, I'm with you.
Hold on. Dan, listen to me as well. So people say things like, Mike, here's a trivia question. What is the capital of China? Is it more impressive that I looked it up in the encyclopedia or I knew it off the top of my head?
Top of my head, definitely.
Top of my head's pretty impressive, right?
Yeah.
So, but you can't possibly know everything off the top of your head.
That's why you stink at trivia.
So the person that is useful in the world is the person that knows how to find information. And this guy knows how to find information from the kid in front of him. I feel like he has an excellent opportunity to be good at work.
Is that not the case? What do people call in and say, I have a problem with my account. Can you look it up?
They you give don't you a low ceiling, though.
You don't pop it up from your head. You're like, let me look up your account. I have not memorized it.
No,
so clickety, clickety.
Yeah, no, so generally speaking, like, and from a workplace perspective, I completely agree with that.
Yeah.
I'm more likely to, I would rather deal with someone who knows how to get information compared to someone who knows information off the top of your head, because then I deal with like 10 finite individuals as opposed to one guy who just knows how to find stuff.
That's what I'm saying.
However,
man. Yeah.
However, if the moral qualifications are you don't cheat and you cheat, that tells me something else about your personality.
Yeah,
that's a problem.
All I'm saying is,
like, if we said, hey, open book, use your skills, Google time, look out after whoever you wish, then fine. Then I'm impressed that you use your skills in that way. But like, that's like someone giving you a task and then you hired out a hired goon to like commit illegalness. Hey, the rent's due $800 and you hire a guy to rob a bank and he shows back up and you're like, what's it your business how I come across this $800? Didn't I find a way to get it? Didn't you get your money? What is the problem? Aren't I resourceful?
You just proved my point. That man. Okay, I hear what you're saying. Okay. So the advice is, like, you're gonna have to have a conversation. But what if they just said, hey, look, if for confronting me about this cheating, we are not friends?
I say, I'm still friends with you. I hope you would reconsider being friends with me. Cheater.
Exactly.
Secular's advice is, real friends don't do rude things to each other.
That's a lie.
Yeah,
that's a straight up lie.
That's not true at all. I do that all the time. Now that you know your quotes friend will copy your work, make sure not to sit next to her when the tests are given. I mean, there's probably a signed seat.
Yeah.
I mean, get with the times. It's not a free Roman school, you know?
Where are you going, Larry?
I'm going to the library.
Do as I please.
I'm going to men's room.
For no reason. Don't send Louise after me.
Unless you do, your teacher may think that because your answers are the same, that you are the cheater and that you'll be in real trouble.
I would say he is.
If you can't change seats because they are assigned. Oh, here we go. You will have to be extra careful about keeping your test paper out of her line of sight.
Don't look, Louisa. I'd say that the second time she tried to do it, after I've already talked to her about it, I'd say that out loud. Here's the deal. I did this.
You cheated off people?
No. There was a very... I was young and impressionable.
Okay.
I was in 8th grade. It was a very good-looking lady that sat behind me, and she wanted to take a peek at my test. And I permitted it.
Yeah.
I did not confront her. And I felt very positive about the whole interaction. As a matter of fact,
after the bears, I thought, yep, that was definitely the way to go.
Her interactions with me outside of that did not pick up in any way. We saw each other in the grocery store one time. I acknowledge that we saw each other in the grocery store one time.
She lived in your cart.
She did not. Yeah.
What's on sale?
Can I have that? I'm going to have that for myself.
I see you shop.
No, that was really awkward. And here's the deal. Here's the awkwardest part, right? Someone's going to try to cheat off you in the middle of a test. And, like, it's hard to rebut in quiet.
Right.
Because it looks like you're in cahoots.
Yeah.
I want
to
look.
I just have to adjust my paper some here or there, put my hands strategically because people were trying to look off my stuff. I mean.
Do you think it's better just to start talking out loud like, they're putting the cheats on me?
I feel prying eyes upon answer 12.
Yeah. Keep your papers to yourself, Bobby.
You wish you could look. I got it right. Yeah. No, I still remember.
I mean, people will hate you. You do that to them, you know?
Yeah, but they're not your real friends, Mike, because they were rude.
Yeah, but you still, I have to deal with people all over the place that aren't my real friends. You know, I walk into the cashier at the Get and Go and start giving them the hard times. Just because they ain't my real friends doesn't mean I have to start causing trouble with them. I just want them to do my bidding.
I know, but like that's you acquiescing. That's you, his blood be upon us and our children. You're just going to go along with something that's going around because you don't want any trouble.
I'm not saying you should let them cheat, but what is the right way out of that thing? People, hey, can I look at your paper? No, man, I don't dig on that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the right way to do it.
Pretty much, yeah.
But I really need the answers to get into college. It's not my fault you dumb.
Maybe your daddy rich.
Here we go. Dear life from the path.
That's the last one.
We can't
take any more quality.
When I call my brother or sister, I expect my call to be private. Between the two of us. However, halfway through the call, other people in the household join a conversation,
or I'll hear pots and pans rattling. I consider this to be very rude. I realize in this era of technology, a speakerphone is a convenience, but I feel the caller should be told up front that he or she is on speakerphone rather than realize during the call that others have been listening. Am I overly sensitive, or do you think the caller should be told they're on speaker and who will be listening in?
I don't know how to say this sensitively, but you're kind of a dullard. Like, everybody knows when you're on speakerphone.
What?
Because then you say it. Everyone's like, hey, am I on speakerphone? Like, you can tell when you're on speakerphone. Hey, you hear the pots? You'd be like, hey, am I on speakerphone? Because I don't appreciate it.
I've had this happen to me before where I was talking to my boss. And we talked for like a minute, and then he goes, am I on the speakerphone? And he was very angry. I said, no, man, I just have a low-quality cell phone. I'm sorry. And he was really mad. He goes, take me off the speakerphone. I'm like, seriously, it's just, I'm on my regular phone. It's not like you're saying, you know, but like, yeah. I've been put in more than one situation where, because you, like, the way that you argue a point or the way you discuss something definitely changes based on who's in the room.
Yeah.
You know, like, Dan and I have a way different conversation about, say, politics than me and the guy at the grocery store, you know, like, it just, the conversation is different. And so, if I'm arguing with Dan, and Dan is on a speakerphone in the middle of aisle 7, and there's like three other dudes around, like, I would probably not talk in the same way that I would talk if it was just him and I.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Like, I feel
it's a
like,
courtesy. You should tell people, hey, I'm putting you on speakerphone, if that's the case.
Yeah. Yeah. My wife, my uncle, my two neighbors, and the kids might come by just for heads up, yeah. Tone down on the vocabulary.
Yeah, but I don't know. I've never been on speakerphone where I was not aware of it. Like, I can tell how people are speaking.
Yeah, the quality goes down pretty dramatically.
Yeah, they're not right in the microphone. Like, or they don't have their face up to their phone. And if they do when they're on speakerphone, they're deaf. Like, there's no reason for this. Although, hey, what you're saying is true, though. My wife will call me at work, and I work in a cubicled area, right? And, like, I mean, at any given day, my voice kind of cuts through. There's probably 30 people that can hear me talking on the phone.
Yeah.
And so there's just some conversations I don't want to have. Hey, have you been peeing in the sink? No, babe. I have not been peeing in the sink. Can we talk about this later?
We're going to bring this up right now.
No, I'm very sorry I left the kid in the car for 10 hours. Like, they're old enough to get out on their own. Don't do anything. I mean, like, I'm just saying that there's just conversations that it's not like they necessarily reflect bad on me. I mean, it saves water to pee in the sink. I'm just saying, like, I'm just saying, I just don't want to have them in front of the people. Like, they don't need to be up in my business.
Yeah.
And so even if I'm not on speakerphone, but I prefer to get up and I'll go stand in a conference room somewhere and have a conversation.
You run into that a lot, John? People trying to have awkward conversations, like a husband and a wife be fighting about the house in front of you, and you're like, well, I guess I'll go outside.
Yeah, I've had that happen last month. I had kind of a whole family fight, and
yeah,
they kind of split apart, and it's kind of awkward who to talk to. Well,
that's true. It looks like you're choosing sides, right?
Yeah.
Like, if the two factions go to either end of the house, you're like, well, if I go over here, it looks like I agree with the bathroom's too small.
Yeah,
or I go over here.
Kind of debating between a bathroom, you know, like, one person will like it, the other person doesn't. Like, well, John, what do you think? They kind of just put me in the middle.
Yeah.
John's like, I poop anywhere.
Yeah.
Let's flush this puppy and see if it works.
Hold on. Give me a second. I'll tell you what I think. That'd be weird. The realtor wants to use your John to tell you what he thinks of it. Yeah. Actually, I never thought of that. Like, you probably get in some real sticky situations. Like once again, when we're not around other people, me and my wife bicker back and forth like an old married couple. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is a stupid idea. We're not going to do that. Let's paint this wall. We're not going to paint that wall. It's dumb. You know? And so, like, if you try to do that right in front of the realtor, they're like, well, what do you think? And, like, I could just sit there and go, you know, pick my wife's ass. That's got to be very, very awkward.
Yeah.
Again, that's why John deals with people and you don't.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. I think I would be like, oh, I got to take a phone call.
Yeah.
And then I'd leave real quick.
Yeah, pardon me while I put him on speakerphone.
Let's see. Secular says, you're not overly sensitive. However, because you know your siblings are in the habit of doing this, you should ask at the beginning of the phone call if you are being put on speaker. If the answer is yes, you can then suggest the person call you back when you can talk privately.
I don't know if clanging pots is an indication of a speakerphone. Like, pots, I mean, some stuff carries.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. It's like, I actually sympathize with this man. I absolutely hate being put on speakerphone.
No, yeah, I agree.
I mean, I really hate it. Or I hate being conferenced in without me knowing about it. Like, when I'm the third guy on the conference call, and they'll be like, hey, this is your boss. And I'm like, cool. And I conferenced in this guy. I'm like,
oh, yeah, I get that at work. I don't answer phone calls from open conference room. They know it. Like, they try to, because there's like a group of people, and sometimes executive types, all in like a conference room somewhere, calling to talk to me about something. I'm like, no way, I'm not answering that phone call.
No.
That can't end positively. You're going to have to send me an email or something.
Yeah. There was like, I got so-and-so from this one job you were at, and they're pretty upset. Like, you know, you could have given me a heads up. I would have come up with a defense of some kind. But you're like, this is your boss, the guy who decides how much money you make here, and then a customer that hates you right now. Yeah, we got Mike on speaker. Oh,
I'm on his side.
All right, you want to listen to Live from the Path. Thanks for hanging out with us this week. If you need advice on something, shoot us an email, info@livefromthepath.org. And also head up the website, livefromthepath.org. You can watch past clips from the show, including clips from Jeff Arundale and the fellas. And in fact, I'll try to get those musical clips up directly so you can enjoy the tunes from this evening. In the meantime, big thanks to Jeff and the fellas for coming in, and to John Eisenlauer for joining us in studio. Always good to have John.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Go to EisenlauerTeam.com in case you want to buy, sell, or poke around or waste John's time.
Or you can call John on his mobile at 515-783-4837.
He's up until at least 11:08 on a Monday night. That's right. Guaranteed. Anyway, thanks for listening to Life and Path. In the meantime, be faithful in the means. God will take care of the ends. We'll see you next week.